Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Does an orthopedic condition or sports injury have you sidelined? Make your comeback with GW Hospital Sports Medicine. We offer services from neck to toe, including care for shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, and hands. Plus, we're the official healthcare partner of GW Athletics, the DC Furies, and the DC Revolution. Get back to doing the things you love. Learn more at gwhospital.com/sportsmed or call 888-4-GW-DOCS. Physicians are not employees or agents of this hospital.
Hello everybody and welcome to Wild Ginger Running. We're live today with a very special guest. He is an ultra runner, he is a brand ambassador for ASICS, and he co-founded Black Trail Runners, which is a community and campaigning charity seeking to increase inclusion, participation and representation of black people in trail running. So welcome Sonny Pert, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. It's
how
really,
are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. It's really great to have you on the show. And I just thought I'd start off with a really easy question, which I ask a lot of people that come onto these chats. And what is it about trail running that you love so much?
Well, it's that it gets you into places that you wouldn't normally get to see. And for me particularly, it's enables me to experience the landscape in a way that generally we don't do. You know, if we're in our cars or even if we're walking, yeah, I mean, yes, you can walk, but it takes a lot longer. So the ability to be able to kind of traverse an ancient trail over a few hours and actually get a sense of how the land has changed, how it's developed, you know, what our current relationship with it is, all of that in the space of a run is fantastic for me.
Awesome. And am I right in thinking you live in London because you work at King's College teaching
That's
business
right, yeah.
management?
I'm in Northwest London.
Yeah. So how do you find the trails there? Like, is it mainly kind of grassy parkland and stuff? How good is it?
I'm finding more and more. Even, you know, where I am in Harrow, we're well inside the M25. You know, there's a farm that I do my regular kind of 5 mile run through from my front door. You know, a dairy farm, which seems bizarre in this kind of suburban area. But we've got, we've got some amazing woodland. We've got kind of heathland. There's a lot of green space. I mean, London is actually, you know, kind of, I'm told, the greenest city in the world in terms of the number of trees and things that it's got. This year I've been doing what's called the Greenways Challenge, so Camino Ultra, which is a sort of event company in East London. They've set up this kind of thing. They create a run on a London trail once a month throughout the year, and I've already discovered, like, you know, two or three trails that I just never even knew about, and they're, you know, pretty close to where I am. You can get to them by public transport, and you just see a side of London that you just wouldn't normally see. And so, yeah, there is a lot of green space that you can run on. Just on Sunday. I ran along the Celandine route, which is one of my favourite routes. Uxbridge to Harrow, you cross over the A40, but there's a lot of time when you're just in woods or you're on grassland, and it's just you and the birds.
It's awesome. That is brilliant. And how did you get into running in the first place? Have you always been a trail runner then? Have you always sought out the wild spaces when you've run?
No, not at all. I've not even always been a runner, right? So
have you always been sporty?
Yeah, I've always been sporty. So, back in my school days, I played football and cricket and rugby, and I did athletics, but I was a sprinter. I wasn't a distance runner at all. And I think the first time that I really got into kind of distance running was somehow I managed to sort of enter the London Marathon in 2003 or something. So, I ran that. But then I only became a regular runner kind of 10 years ago. Typical story, bit of middle-aged bread, trying to fix that. And then sort of turned up to a local running club as a way of kind of keeping my motivation going, and then just got kind of sucked into the whole kind of lifestyle and social aspect of it. And then, as lots of, I'd say, beginner runners do, you find that your improvements happen quite quickly. Mm-hmm. So after that initial, can I run, can I do this kind of stuff, once you start doing it regularly, you improve really fast. And so you end up being sort of dragged into, okay, I'll run a 5K, okay, I'll run a 10K, okay, I'll run a half marathon, all that kind of stuff. So I ended up, within a 2 or 3 years, running a marathon. And then sort of a clubmate of mine, she was running a trail marathon down in Sussex, and she was just asking if anyone was interested in doing it with her. And I said, yeah, that sounds like fun, I'm doing some other stuff like that, so yeah, let's go for it. And it was just a bit of a revelation, really. It was like, wow, this is totally different to what I've done before, and it's actually really cool. You're out in nature, you're out in the outdoors, you're seeing interesting stuff that's not another high street, it's not another suburban road. It's really nice. So yeah, I've kind of not looked back from that.
Yeah,
obviously that's roads and stuff like that, but yeah, trail running's worked out for me.
yeah And what, just going back to what you were saying before about discovering new trails as well, that's one of my favorite things to do. Like, I've lived here now for 7 or so years, and the other day I found a new trail that I'd never run on before, and it's just so exciting, isn't it? The small things.
But it's a great, to me, the opposite to that is that, unlike road running, trail running, you can run the same trail over and over again, and it can be very different, right? If I run it in January, it's very different to when I run it in March, or run it in June, or run it in whenever. Whereas, roads are either wet or dry or cold or hot, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, isn't it? And I'm glad you said that, because it's just reminding me of the last run that I did through a field. I don't usually go that way, and it was just completely overgrown, and I had to fight my way through the whole thing. You could see the path underneath, but it was a farmer's field, and it was just completely overgrown, and I felt like a midget while I was running through there. So it took a while, because I had to beat my way through.
Take a machete with you.
Yeah, I should have hacked that path down. Did you then get into ultra running? Am I right in thinking you've done some quite long ones as well?
I'm the wrong side of 50, depending on how you look at these things.
I've got to that stage
in my life where I don't think I'm going to get any faster particularly. And so the appeal of, kind of pushing myself has kind of moved to going longer. So, it seemed like a kind of natural progression to go from marathons to ultras. In fact, I think my first ultra was actually the Race of the Stones. So it was like 2 50Ks back to back, which was an experience. But I think it's kind of before I started ultra running, I didn't really know what it was. It just wasn't a thing, right? Yeah. I just never really heard of it. And then suddenly I have heard of it, and I'm thinking, actually, I'd quite like to do that. And discovered that, you know, I'm not fast, but I'm just kind of stubborn, and I kind of appear to have quite a high pain threshold for some of the stuff. So that sort of just going longer when your body actually kind of is saying, stop, don't go further. Actually, I quite like that. And I think part of it was, I saw the documentary about the Barclay Marathons. The race that eats its young. And that's just a revelation about what running can be about. Even though you actually don't see very much running, because famously there's no kind of the coverage of the race actually live, but you see people talking about it. And there's one of the guys on that, he says, you know, not uncontroversially, that, you know, people don't have enough pain in their lives. And, you know, whereas, you know, on one level that's a ridiculous thing to say, on another it makes absolute sense. You know, in the lots of people who are doing these long distances, that's kind of what they're doing. They're just pushing themselves. And
It's like life's too easy just going through the day to day. It's too comfortable.
You can just live your life kind of, you know, very easily. You know, we're fortunate enough, despite, you know, lots of stuff that's going on in the world. You know, the fact is that mid-21st century, it's a lot easier to live than it has at any point being
before. Yeah.
And so we've lost that kind of, you know, that challenge, if you like.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's a real kind of good counterpoint to complacency. And it's become a bit of a truism that people say, you know, if I can do this, then I can do other stuff in my life as well. But I think it is true. You know, yeah. I call on that stuff myself. You know, sometimes when I'm faced with something which I'm finding it difficult to do, you know, I can recall, well, in that time when you were, you know, 50 miles into X race and you didn't feel like carrying on, but you did, and things got better. That's quite a good kind of memory to fall back on.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that I had that, and then I experienced childbirth. That is a whole different thing.
I can't comment.
So what have you recently run then? What stands out for you, like, coming back after COVID? Like, have you done many events since we were allowed to?
Quite a few. So last year was actually really busy, probably too busy, but the most recent race I've run is the Thames Bath 100. So
100 miles.
It's just 3.5 weeks ago. It was really good. I ran a PB.
Wow.
It's the third time I've run that race. I sort of took 20 minutes off my fastest time previously.
Wow.
But it was also a really challenging race.
Yeah.
There was a course diversion sort of last minute, which added miles onto the course. I was trying to get under 24 hours, and then actually I ended up not quite doing that, partly because the course was longer and partly because of my own stupidity and that I took a turn.
Oh no, I hate it when that happens. It's like, it's already a long race.
That's true. But it's a really good lesson in the fact that on these really long races, there are lots of opportunities for things to go wrong, but also, even when things go wrong, there's lots of opportunities for them to get right again. You're out there for a long time. So it's an experience that, you know, kind of lives with you for a long time afterwards. You know, I've run a lot of, I would call, short races, kind of half marathons and stuff, and, you know, I can barely remember. Whereas hundreds, I can remember how I felt at particular points during those races.
Yeah.
In ingrained in my mind.
And having done several hundreds now, which is really impressive in itself, have you got like a tip for people, you know, like something that you wish you'd known earlier about running such a long way? Is there just like one thing that really stands out to you as a learning point?
The main thing, I mean, if you want to improve your time, the main thing is don't faff around in aid stations.
Okay.
I think, you know, in my early days of doing them, of any ultra, I would kind of be, oh, they've put on this aid station for me. I ought to spend some time here.
Put your feet up, read the newspaper.
Yeah. And, you know, you feel as though, yeah, you know, I should sit down and have a bit of a rest, you know, because I'm going a long way. Whereas now, it's literally, I'm literally going to be in here long enough to get fluids in my whatever, you know, in my bottles, pick up whatever food that I might want to go, and within 2 or 3 minutes, I'm out again and moving. Because, yeah, there's no need to slip. You know, and certainly on the Thames 500, you know, I think between every single aid station, you know, I gained places because I'm coming in and people are sat around doing whatever, and you know, I've left before they got up again.
That's really interesting, because I thought you were going to say something to do with training perhaps, but actually that's a really amazing way to boost your PB without even having to do any extra training. You just don't faff around. It's great.
100 miler, there might be 10 aid stations.
Yeah, and if you spend 10 minutes in each one.
Wow.
That's a long time.
You save yourself an hour just by doing that.
Yeah, and that's time on feet still, isn't it? Like, get it over with quicker. That's great. Thanks for that. If I ever do a 100 miler, I'm going to remember that. I think I would like to do one day. But yeah, it scares me a bit, doing 100 miles, just the fact that you're out there for such a long time. But yeah, maybe one day. I'll do one of the ones down south rather than a really, really hilly one. Yeah. The Thames Path 100 sounds good. And are you training for anything at the moment? You've got anything coming up soon?
So I'm down to run the North Downs Way 100 in August.
Oh, is that Centurion Running?
Yeah, again. So I did that in 2020. And it was ridiculously hot. So just finishing it was a feat. So I'd quite like to do that in a slightly less kind of Saharan temperature.
Oh, yeah. Do you prefer running in cooler temperatures then? I definitely do, because I get so hot running.
Yeah, I don't have a particular preference as such, but it was just so hot that it was really difficult. I think the dropout rate was like 57% or something.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
That is high.
And that was just due to the temperature condition. So, yeah, it'd be nice to do it in slightly more runnable conditions, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, usually here we're going, oh, I hope it doesn't rain. That's like unusual, isn't it, to have a race too hot in the UK?
Yeah, I mean, August on the North Downs, yeah, that's
it's
not...
It's pretty much France, isn't it, really?
Yeah, run through a vineyard. And then I'm doing the Ultra X England in September. So I'm doing the 50K.
Is that in Wales?
No, it's the Peak District.
Oh, okay, the Ultra X. Okay, I'll have to look into that.
So they do have all those races.
Oh, okay.
So, so this is the third running of that, and I've run the previous two. And both times I was kind of just running with someone else and not kind of racing it particularly. So this time I'd quite like to see how well I can do on it, really. I mean, it still won't be fast, but it'll be faster than previously, hopefully.
Yeah. So
I'll kind of give it a go.
Yeah, well, you're only really racing yourself in these things, I find, anyway, aren't you?
Yeah. But there's a difference between, yeah, I'm just going to go around and enjoy it, and you know what, I'm actually going to push myself.
Yeah, that's really cool, and you'll find that you'll smash all those PBs. I know you've said that you're like getting the wrong side of 50 and whatever, but it sounds like your times are actually going down because of all your experience.
The mile PB has been coming down, so
yeah, and that's experience. And that's the great thing about trail running, is there's so much more than just physical fitness involved. That's what I like about it anyway.
True.
We have had a question on the live chat. Just I don't know if you're okay to answer a couple of live questions as they come in. But Sarah Gon McKenney wants to know what your training schedule looks like for 100K. I suppose we've just been talking about 100 miles, but yeah. Do you have any sort of like a weekly training schedule idea for these long distance things?
So, I mean, first of all, I'd say that, you know, everybody's training plan is very personal to them. Yeah. And, you know, I would strongly recommend, you know, employing the services of a coach to help you with that, at the very least.
Oh, do you have a coach?
Now I'm going to say, no, I don't. I'm going to say I'm self-coached.
Yeah.
I am just a qualified coach, so I can do that.
But, oh, yeah, yeah.
So, what I would say is, you know, for me personally, it's about building up miles gradually. So I'm not a sort of massive weekly mileage person. You know, my body just wouldn't deal with that particularly, and I don't feel the need to do that. So what I do is think about what my sort of goal race is going to be, and then maybe sort of 3 to 4 months out, I'll think about what my kind of peak mileage for that is going to be. And for 100K, if I was doing that, I would probably say 100K in a week would probably be my peak.
Over the whole week?
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably thinking my peak mileage is going to be like 60 miles a week. For me, that's a lot. Mm. So I would basically work back from that to a kind of starting point where I could reach that a couple of weeks before the race, having only increased my mileage by kind of 10% a week. So if that means that I should be running 20 miles this week, and then 22 next week, and then 25 the week after, and so on and so on, that's what I would do. And I literally just put a spreadsheet together that does that, and then I'll just plan my weekly runs around that and try and mix them up with some little bit of speed work and some hill work, depending on what race it is that I'm trying to do. Yeah, and in theory, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And then in head, I do strength and conditioning and flexibility work. And occasionally, I do actually do it. But yeah, that's kind of what I do. And these days, I'm much more sort of incorporating, you know, grand word for it is cross training, but basically doing some cycling, doing some swimming, so stuff that gets me some aerobic stuff without sort of putting too much pressure on my joints.
The constant pounding.
Yeah.
I love the way that you said in your head you do the strength and conditioning, because that is exactly me. This morning I was going to go to a strength and conditioning class, and then I felt a bit tired, so I didn't go. And I was like, oh, you have to do it. As soon as you've dropped Finley at nursery, you've got to go back and do a free one on YouTube. And did I? No. I just didn't do it. I just cracked on with work. So that's very bad of me. And I'm telling myself I'll do it after he's gone to bed as well.
Yeah, I'm literally looking at my weights right now. I can see them here, and I'm like, I should use those.
Why is it so hard? It's so hard, isn't it? And it's just 15 minutes a day. That's all you have to do, just 15 minutes in a day, one day. Yeah.
But that's, we like running. And so, if you give the choice between running and doing that, I'll do running, and then other stuff comes in. And, you know, ultimately, you have to fit in your regime around the rest of your life. And it depends on, you know, what's really important to you. And the fact is that what I'm doing kind of works. So,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, it's a bit of that, yeah. But yeah, I still have in my head, yes, you know, I will definitely be doing this more regularly in future. It's just the future never seems to arrive.
Yeah. Something to aim for. Sarah Gunn says thank you very much for answering their question there. And I can see that you're also wearing Asics or Asics? I never know. How do you?
It's one of those brands where you can say it either way.
Oh yeah, okay.
Because it's not an actual word; it's an acronym.
Oh.
I'm going to get this wrong, but it's kind of Ansana Incorporo Sane. So it's basically Latin for sound mind and in a sound body.
Oh, cool! I didn't know that.
That the founder of Asics was kind of taken by. So, that's what it stands for.
Yeah. Oh, so you call it Asics.
Yeah, I generally call it Assets.
Assets. I'll call it Assets then. and so how did you become an ambassador for them then? Is that part of their front runner team? Is that what it is?
Yeah, so this is a worldwide sort of team of ambassadors. Every year there's a kind of enrollment process. So you fill in a kind of application. They ask you some interesting questions, and then there's a kind of selection process, you know, which is slightly opaque, but effectively they're looking for people who inspire other people to move and to run, etc. So yeah, I did that last year, and you know, fortunately I was chosen along with four other people that year. And once you're in the team, you're in until you decide that, you know, it's not for you anymore, or they decide that you're not.
You get kicked out. You haven't inspired enough people this year, Sonny.
Yeah, it's not like you're in for a year or whatever. It's like you're in until, you know, so there's people who have been in, I think the first team was set up in Germany many, many years ago, and there's people who have been in that team for years and years. So yeah, it's really great. So in the UK there's about 50 of us all over the country, and it's incredibly diverse. And you know, I know a lot of brands talk about that kind of thing, but you know, I genuinely know that we have a diverse group of people in our team, so, and just really interesting people as well, in that, you know, you might imagine that you know, these kind of ambassador teams are full of, you know, super fit gym bunnies or whatever, and it's just not like that at all. I mean, there are some, but there's people like me, you know, there's people older than me, there are people slower than me, there are people, you know, up to, there are people representing their country, you know, at various distances. You know, there's runners, there's swimmers, there's triathletes. You know, it's a really interesting bunch of people, and really super kind of friendly. It's like instantly you feel like you're part of the family, so really great. And you get to do some really cool things.
Joel Prescott says, I answered this as well before you came on, but he says, do you put in most of your miles in before the house wakes up, especially in the summer months? Like, do you get up early and do it before everyone else, or do you make it as part of your day?
I'm not that kind of person.
No, me neither.
So I may do on a Sunday. So yeah, generally my Sunday is a long run. Will be early, though not by some people's standards, so I'm not kind of chasing the sunrise. And during the week I'm generally working, so I'll generally run after work rather than before. Yeah, that's just how I roll.
Yeah. Oh, that's good to know, because I hate getting up early too. And Maeve O'Reilly says, does Sonny have any interest in the Cape Wrath Ultra or the Dragon's Back stage races?
Wow. So Cape Wrath, definitely. I've run the Highland Ultra, which is on the Knoydart Peninsula. So wow. Some of that is on the Cape Wrath Trail. Wow. So, you know, I know how beautiful it is up there. So yeah. I would quite love to do that. The Dragon's Back kind of scares me. You know, that's a properly tough mountain race. I'm not sure if I'm ready for that.
I know, I really wanted to do that one as well, but just the ascent, like in that time frame, I was thinking I'd prefer to do it over like 2 weeks, that route.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting as a challenge. You know, I think it's one of those races where the conditions will make a huge difference to what your experience is going to be.
Yeah.
I would have to adjust my mindset to be, okay, even when I start, I'm not sure if I'm going to finish this. This is going to be about, you know, how do I do?
Yeah.
You know, which is very different to most of the long distance races that I've done, where I've kind of, I'm starting this, I know I'm going to finish.
Yeah, I am going to finish, yeah. Yeah, you just get to a point, because I tried to do the Cape Wrath Ultra in 2018. I finished day 4, and it's an 8-day race.
Right.
And I just couldn't continue. I wasn't getting enough sleep. My mouth had gone all weird from eating sweet stuff all the time. My hips felt like someone was poking 2 red-hot pokers into them. They were on fire. I wasn't fit enough, and my feet were just blistered, like I had like little toe blisters, so every time I walked felt like I was being stung by a bee and that someone was poking a knife into me at the same time. I just didn't enjoy it, and I was like, why am I doing this? I'm not enjoying myself. So I quit for 3 days, and then I did the last day because I really wanted to go see Sandwood Bay, this beautiful beach that you can't drive to, and see the Cape Wrath Lighthouse as well. So I did the last day. So I did 5 of 8 days, and for me that was a really great experience still, but I didn't complete the whole thing.
5 more than most people do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think you'd really enjoy it. It's really good, but...
Yeah, I'd like to do that. I mean, there are some other sort of stage races that I'd quite like to do. I'd really like to do Deadwater. Which is 6 days. I was actually entered to do it last year, but family thing came up, so I couldn't run it. So I'm hoping that it runs again.
Cool. Oh, that sounds like a good one too. I'll have to have a look at that. But I think we should skip to the good bit, because I've got you here to talk about Black Trail Runners as well.
Yeah.
And I was just about to, and then everything cut off, so we must talk about it quickly in case it goes again. But yeah, I just really wanted to just tell everyone that you founded co-founded Black Trail Runners, and just ask you a little bit about why you decided to found it, and what the challenges are that people are facing right now, and how we can help in the quest to increase diversity like ASICS do.
Yeah, so it was really about a realization that black people are woefully underrepresented in trail running. So data that we have tells us that less than 1% of trail race entrants in the UK are black, whereas black people make up 4.5% of the population at least. I love trail running, my other co-founders love trail running, we know that it's good for us physically and mentally, so people are missing out on it, and there must be some kind of reason for that. And we think that the reasons are to do with access, to do with skills, and to do with representation. The easiest of those to think about is representation. Do people see other black people represented in the sport of trail running, either in the media or in events or whatever? And the fact is that broadly, no, they haven't seen them. For all that we might say, anyone can go out and run on the trails, the fact is that it generally takes some kind of prompting for someone to do that. And often that is someone that you know, or some kind of role model that you see, and you think, that person looks like me. If they can do that, maybe I can do that, right? And the fact is that, until 2 years ago, you could very often pick up a trail running magazine and not see a single person of color represented. Unfortunately, you still can, but it's much less likely now. So there has been movement. We're about working with events and brands and media to kind of change that narrative. We're also about giving people access to the skills that they need to help them feel confident about going out on the trails, going out on the mountains, wherever it happens to be. Because again, if you haven't grown up in that kind of environment, it can be a bit intimidating, right?
Yeah.
How do you behave in those environments? How do you make sure that you're safe? So we work on that, and we work on access in terms of trying to make sure that people can get to races, can get to events. So we'll put on trail taster days where we will provide transport, we'll put them in places where people can get to, they're free, so people can get the chance to actually see what it's like. People who either haven't run before really, or have only run on roads, get a chance to do something different. And unsurprisingly, what we find is that they were like, wow, this is great. Why haven't I done this before? They haven't done it before because there hasn't been someone intentionally working to get them on the trails. That's what we're trying to do. It's seems to be sort of striking a chord. I was just out on Sunday with a small group of people running a local trail, and it's just great to see people doing stuff which they wouldn't normally do. And we try and make it as inclusive as possible, but we recognise that the fact is that, you know, the experience of black people in the UK is not always the same as the experience of white people.
Yeah.
You have to take that into consideration. So if you're asking someone to do something new, to go into a new space, then you want to remove all kinds of, as many barriers as you can. One of them is, it can be, well, justifying why you're there. The fact is that there's still a sense for some people that, you know, these spaces are white spaces, and it's still kind of a bit of a surprise to see a black person in those spaces. And if you are that black person, it's not comfortable.
It
doesn't feel comfortable. Being able to go and try that out with people who you know look like you can make it more comfortable. You know, you don't have to explain your kind of life experience. You know, there's stuff that doesn't have to be spoken. You've got some shared references, which aren't otherwise the case. And I know that some people listening to this will be thinking, everyone's the same, what's the big deal? But that's just, frankly, it's just a naive view.
You can't say that unless you're you, can you? Like, I can't look at the world and go, of course there's no barriers for black people, because I'm not black in any sense. I'm like the furthest from black you could ever get. So how am I can't say that at all. And I just have to, listen to what you say are the challenges and what are the barriers, and like understand it and believe you.
Our fundamental thing is, well, if there isn't an issue, well, please explain the numbers in some other way.
Exactly.
So that's what we're trying to do. We want to move those numbers. We want to see black people equally represented in trail running as they are in the rest of our community and society. Yeah. Moment they're not.
Yeah, I think you've been doing a really great job though, because since you set up Black Trail Runners and since this has been highlighted as an issue, I have seen a lot more brands using black, Asian, Chinese models, different people from different backgrounds, in advertising campaigns, in brochures, in magazines and in features and things. And I just think that everything is becoming more diverse. It's a little step in the right direction, hopefully. And I think people have... The outdoor industry is trying to listen, hopefully.
Yeah, I would pick you up on the use of the word model, in that actually what we have been seeing more of, or want to see more of, is that they're actually using black runners.
Yeah, by models, I don't actually mean models. I just mean the people that are being photographed. Participants. I know what you mean. I never used models in my photoshoots.
This kind of chicken and egg situation. So people kind of come to us and they say, we'd love to have we'd love to have pictures of black people on our website, but unfortunately there aren't any in our races. What do we do? Well, you kind of do the work and you try and make sure that you get some black people into your races. And when you get them there, make sure that you represent them and that, they're not overlooked. Because this happens. You can easily have, and I've seen this, you can have a race with 300 people in it and there's two black people, and all the photos that are then published about the race are of the winner or of, someone pulling a funny face or doing one of those silly jumps.
Yeah.
And so you end up with 10 photos and, they're all of white-aged accountants. So it's like, that might represent the race as it was, but does it represent the race that you want it to be? No, it doesn't. If you're really kind of serious about this.
Yeah.
So you need intentional action. It's like, okay, we're going to actually represent our race in the way that we want it to be. And if that means that we've got to go out of our way to get someone to run it, and we've got to make sure that they themselves individually are photographed and that we use those photographs, then that's what we'll do. It's not that difficult, but it does take some intention.
Yeah.
A little bit of imagination.
Yeah.
And some of that's about who's involved in that decision making as well. So, if the people involved in putting stuff together are not particularly diverse, then this stuff might not occur to them.
Yeah.
Why would it necessarily? And so that's one of the reasons why it's not just about, for us, getting more black people running. It's also getting more black people involved in the organisation of the sport and events, which is my way of leading directly to talk about our first trail running race, which is Black to the Trails, which takes place on the 11th of September at Dunstable Downs, which is a beautiful National Trust property in Bedfordshire. And we have designed this to be a totally inclusive event. So yes, it's on trails, it's on closed roads, there are no roads, so it's on, you know, there are no roads involved, and there are distances of 10k, 5k and 1k, so you can run one of them, you can run all three, so everyone can enter. We will be shortly starting a kind of Couch to 5k training program sort of virtually for anyone who's entered and, you know, isn't sure about running that kind of distance. The prices are really low, so everyone can afford it, and even if you can't afford it, we have a kind of grant system and a pay it forward system, so people who've already entered have donated so that other people can get their entries paid for if they can't afford it.
That's really cool.
We are providing transport from the nearest train station, which is Luton, so again that's free, and there'll be music. We've got a really cool DJ we'll be announcing soon. There'll be great food, and it won't just be pizza and cake, it'll be really good food. Really appropriate food.
And
it's going to be a really cool day.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. I'm really hoping to come. I really would like to bring Steve. Yeah, I really want to. I'd really like to bring Steve and Finley as well. Finley's my little boy.
Things go free.
Ah, excellent. And maybe Finley can do the 1 kilometre race.
I'm sure they could. You can jog around with them.
Yeah, that's really cool. I've just had a few comments I wanted to read out to you, Sonny, before we do some quick fire questions. Maeve O'Reilly said she followed the Cape Wrath Ultra this year. Her yoga teacher won it, actually. And she thinks it is lacking in diversity and it needs you to run it. So there you go, that's someone reaching out with intention. Off you go next year. Good luck. And Sarah Gunn-McKenney says that Yassine Dyborn and Sonny Pert are good trailblazers doing inclusive work. So yeah, you're definitely recognised. And John Gardner says, greetings everyone. So hello to you, John. I know that he's watching from the United States, so it's amazing to have so many people. He says, well said, Sonny, great work. Cool. Okay, so we're all going to Black to the Trails Festival now. Is it a festival or is it just, would you call it a festival?
We just call it a race event, but it's an all-day thing, so you could turn up at 10 o'clock in the morning, you can stay all day, there's to keep you occupied all while you're there, including some trail running. And what we found interestingly so far is that, you know, the entrance, you know, we've actually got a majority of the entrants are people of colour.
Ah, wicked.
Which is just unheard of in UK trail races. Yeah. And interestingly, 3/4 of entrants are women.
Oh, brilliant.
Which is also unheard of.
That's really good. And so have you got a little bot when people fill out the form to enter, you've got a box saying what's your ethnic origin?
Absolutely.
So you can sort of do a survey.
So the first thing that we did as Black Trail Runners 2 years ago was ask trail events to start collecting ethnicity data, because no one was. And a number of them are now doing that, so that's how we know what the data is. And yes, we're absolutely collecting that data ourselves.
Awesome. Oh, that's really brilliant. And so what brings you the most joy about setting up Black Trail Runners? Like, what makes your heart just sing?
It's when you see or talk to someone who has run on the trails for the first time, and just the smile on their face as they experience what it is to, you know, run in the woods. I mean, it's as simple as that, really.
Yeah.
And you know, you get that feeling, and you know that they're going to come back for more.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And I, as a YouTube channel owner, I don't have any kind of ethnicity data when I look at my analytics, but I think that my channel is mainly watched by white people of a certain background. So as one of those myself, I just wanted to ask you, what is the best way for us to be allies to you and all the other people in Black Trail Runners?
So I think it's to challenge your own sort of preconceptions about things, and it's to challenge the events that you yourself get involved in. So, you know, ask them, what are they doing, actually doing, to increase diversity beyond, you know, having a phrase on their website? You know, what are they actually doing? How are they trying to get different people to run their races? And, you know, that, as I said, that, you know, the simplest of those is generally representation. So, you know, if you look at a website, you know, just look at it through that kind of filter. You know, I don't know, but, you know, as a woman, you may well look at something, and if it was all men,
yeah,
that at least subconsciously is going to send some kind of message to you. Whereas if it was all women, that would send a very different message. And, you know, that, you know, being black is part of people's identity in a similar way. And so if we look at something and it's just a sea of white faces, you know, that it's not that we're like, we don't like white people. It's that, you know, it doesn't, yeah. Right? You know, if I turn up to this, am I going to be the only black person there? And I've spent too much of my life in that kind of situation that, yeah, you know, I don't particularly want to keep putting myself into it.
Yeah, because everyone will take photos of you. Yeah, Sonny, you're on everyone's website now. Yeah. Yeah.
That, you know, that's not, you know, how I want to live my life.
Yeah. Yeah, and we don't, it's boring if everybody's the same colour and looks the same. I think it's much more interesting if everyone's from different places, there's different experiences going on and different lives and different stories,
yeah,
to share.
The other big things about it, and that, you know, there are lots of areas of our social life or cultural life which have been enriched by kind of diversity, and there's no reason why trail running can't be the same. You know, it will be different, but it will be better.
Yes, it will definitely be better. Thank you, Sonny. That was really, really insightful, and yeah, we'll all do that now. And if there's anything else that we can be doing, then just let us know, because yeah, I'm sure there's tons of other stuff. I have got some quick fire questions for you now to round off the interview. So let's hit it. Music or no music while running?
No music.
No music. Interesting. Uphill or downhill?
Downhill.
Excellent. Rocky or muddy?
I think I prefer rocky.
And that is that your taste in music also?
No, not really.
Forest or mountaintop?
I'm gonna say mountaintop these days. Ooh. Yeah, I think I'm getting more mountainy as time passes.
Yeah, what if there's a forest on a mountaintop? Oh, mind blown. Yeah. race number, odd or even?
Oh wow, odd.
Don't care. When running, what spirit animal would you be?
Oh wow. Part of me wants to say cheetah, but actually the truth is probably more like donkey.
That is a brilliant answer. Mine is a squirrel, a red squirrel. after a really muddy run, do you have a bath or a shower?
A bath.
But would you shower first to get all the mud off, because otherwise you're sitting in muddy bath?
No, I'm quite happy to sit in the mud.
In a muddy bath. Well, all donkeys are. And then beer or wine after a trail race?
Oh, after a trail race, beer. Yeah.
Yeah, good answer. And then on a Sunday after a run, barbecue or Sunday lunch?
Sunday lunch.
Sunday lunch, like it. Excellent. Well, that is all of the quickfire questions. I'd just like to say thank you, Sonny, for coming on to the show and giving up your time today. There's tons of people who have really enjoyed this chat. Everybody has loved hearing more about you, more about the events that you're running and Black Trail Runners. And how can people get involved? Like, is anyone allowed to join the Facebook group and things like that? How can they follow your journey?
So we have a curated Facebook group, but everyone is welcome to join. Just click the button and we'll let you in. If you're, as long as you share our objective, which is to increase the number of Black people trail running, then you're welcome. You can do that. You can follow us on Instagram, Black Trail Runners. Our website is blacktrailrunners.run. There's lots of things on there, including an event calendar. So that includes the races who are collecting ethnicity data, and therefore we promote those races. You can also follow us on Twitter at Runners Black, and we also have a Strava club. So if you're on Strava, please join that. We've got 3,500 members on that club. Wow. So we're pretty cool, and we've got some cool stuff coming up around that, ahead of Black to the Trails in September as well. So even if you can't make it to Dunstable Downs, you're going to have the opportunity to be part of that event.
Brilliant. And you've got a meetup, I think it's the 19th of July, is it in Birmingham? You've got a meetup as well. I just saw it on the website or on the Facebook page.
Yeah, you're probably ahead of me. I'm currently banned from Facebook, and I don't know why. I can't actually see what's going on Facebook.
Oh no!
You're probably right.
I'm not right. I've just looked at my diary. I've put it in my diary. It's 10 a.m. On the 16th of July, Saturday, the 16th of July. It's a Black Trail Runners meeting in central Birmingham. So my sister lives in Birmingham, so I just thought maybe I could pay her a visit and I could hop onto that, because that sounds fun. And also there's the Checkpoint podcast as well, which I've been listening to this morning, which is really great, interviewing prolific people from loads of different backgrounds, isn't it? Not just Black people, like people from all over.
We try and bring out episodes every 2 weeks, we interview runners, we interview social activists, all kinds of people. Have a listen.
It's a really interesting podcast. Fabulous. Okay, right, well, we'll all come to Dunstable Downs on Saturday the 11th of September, and we'll meet you there.
Fantastic. I should mention one last thing. To sign up for that race, go to blacktothetrails.co.uk.
Awesome. It sounds like a brilliant race, and I can't wait to meet you. And yeah, I can't wait to be the only white person doing a race. It's going to be a turn up for the books. Yeah. Maybe I should start like a ginger one as well. Ginger to the trails. They do have that ginger's meeting, don't they? That big like festival of ginger people, and they all get together. I think I'd be a bit scared.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. It is, yeah, look it up. It's like a festival of ginger people, and they all get together. I think I'd be scared if I wasn't the only ginger person. I'd just be like, oh, I'm not special anymore. But yeah, I can't wait for it. It's going to be really ace to meet you and Sabrina as well, because I've had Sabrina on the show as well. So if anybody wants to listen to that broadcast with Sabrina, and I'll put it in the show notes as well, the description below, so you can click on that and listen to her as well. She was one of the co-founders as well.
Yeah, and she's got a book coming out next week.
Yeah, she's got the book. Yeah, Black Sheep. I can't wait to read it. It sounds like heartbreaking, but also just a really insightful read. Yeah, can't wait to read it. And when's your book coming out then, Sonny?
Oh, gosh. December.
Oh, really? You're writing one?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. What's your book about?
Well, it's about running and ultras, but also about the kind of intersection of race and sport. Yeah, so it's not a memoir, but it does feature aspects of my past, but it's really mostly thinking about kind of contemporary issues to do with race and sport today, and kind of activism in that space as well, kind of intermixed with my experience of running ultras.
Awesome. It sounds brilliant. I'm so glad. I said that as a joke, but actually you are writing a book, so that's brilliant. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been really interesting, insightful and entertaining. So it's been brilliant. Thank you for giving us so much of your time as well, and all the tips on ultra running as well. That's been brilliant. And I'm looking forward to meeting you on the 11th, hopefully.
Great, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Okay, I'll see you soon then, Sonny. Bye.
Bye.
Does an orthopedic condition or sports injury have you sidelined? Make your comeback with GW Hospital Sports Medicine. We offer services from neck to toe, including care for shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, and hands. Plus, we're the official healthcare partner of GW Athletics, the DC Furies, and the DC Revolution. Get back to doing the things you love. Learn more at gwhospital.com/sportsmed or call 888-4-GW-DOCS. Physicians are not employees or agents of this hospital.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.